and that was in their heart. Once something's in your heart, it doesn't have to make sense, but if it's in your heart, it's hard to be corrected if the wrong thing is in your heart. Whatever's in your heart, that's what you're going to do, even if it's not logical. In order to make a lasting change, you have to change what's in your heart. If what's in your heart don't change, you can't change it. It's impossible. We all do what's in our heart. So when we fill our heart with the Word of God, even though it may be in puzzle form, it's there. And the Holy Spirit can help us make the adjustments so it can be an understandable form. So when I study the Scriptures, I'm blessed by the Spirit of the Word, the intended meaning of the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of the Word. If you read Scriptures, you get a portion. If you read chapters, you get a bigger picture. But when you read books, you get understanding. And when you have understanding, now the Holy Spirit has something to work with. So no matter what goes on the outside, the strength of God is operating on the inside. And he'll show you your road to conquering what's on the outside. And you'll survive it and you'll thrive against it. And then you'll publish it and you'll replenish the earth. You'll teach people how not to get in that ditch. So the next generation will come out stronger. They'll start off where you're ending. The wonderful things that Kenneth Hagin taught, even authority, it took him a lifetime to learn these things. This was later in his ministry when he learned about authority. And he pastored for a while before he learned about Ephesians, how to live in victory. Even though he believed God for healing on his deathbed. Then he learned how to teach people to live in victory. From Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. He kept praying Ephesians. And then he learned about authority. And people are used to what they're used to, and they don't like to change fast. So the Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps, Kenneth Copeland, they got a lot of fan mail against what they were teaching. People trying to correct them to get them back to the old way. And they had to write these letters to these people to let them know, you know, the Word of God. But people are taught, they stick with it. They do that because that's what's in their heart. They don't mean any harm. They're good people. But that's not the way that their pastor did it. And that's not the way their grandparents, the people that they look to, did it the old way. And then here they come with a doctrine that seems new to them. They say, well, no, you're a good pastor, but you're wrong about this. You can't just blab it and grab it and claim it. And they taught faith. You can do those things because when you study the Word, you can do the same thing that Jesus did. But Jesus said, he that believed will do greater works than me. There's always we have abilities that are not tapped yet. We're not benefiting from some of the abilities that we truly have. So when the enemy comes to bring the suffering to distract us against God, but when you rise above it, his best efforts won't work. He has to try something else, and he can for a long time come up with something new. But so can the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can always top whatever Satan does. That, you know, I heard George Meyer say, new level, new devil. Well, his operating strategy is the same. It's not really a new devil. The devil has rules. He can only tempt us according to our strength. He's fighting us on our level. He's ancient to us, and he knows how to undo the things of God. He knows how to fight us on greater levels, but he has to fight us on our level, which means we can always win any attack he sends. But as we grow, he tried things that we hadn't tried yet. But you don't have to wait on them to try something. You can fight them offensively. You can tell Satan, I randomly tell Satan, whatever plan you have against me, I rebuke it and it can't work. But when he does, if he does get something by me to hinder me, I look at it having the mastery. He tried something. I see it. It took me by surprise, but I learned how to overcome it. So the next time, I'll be ready for it. We can do this forever. As long as it's necessary, we can rise above whatever challenges come our way. Some problems take time to solve. Now, many times people, in trying to end their demise, their problems, they try to, their mind is on relief. They're studying for relief. They're seeking the Lord for relief. And once they get it, they feel like they can just, live at that level. But that's not the best way to do it. It's best to look to the Lord and study and enjoy your relationship. Study to live and enjoy your relationship. Use the word to solve the problems, but your focus, even though you have situations and problems, focus on the Lord and his righteousness. And you'll see how to solve the problem much faster. But when people study to get the relief, that's all they're looking for. But the problem's not solved. The problem gets solved when you fill your heart with his word, when you're on board with him. The attacks of the enemy, they're designed to steal your focus. You know they're happening. You know it's negative. You know you want to overcome it. But you got it. Study the word, fill your heart with his word, and keep watching God. You will see him and how to deal with the problem. It'll be gone, but you're steadily learning and growing. But when you study for relief, once the problem seems fixed, then you go back to normal. But what if the normal is always looking to the Lord? If the normal is always looking to him and his seeking the Lord and his righteousness, all these things will be added faster, much faster. But if I got to have this new car, and I'm challenged, I'm having a hard time getting the money together to get it. Most of my energy is spent on trying to figure out how to get the money to get this car, working overtime, whatever I have to do. And I can't rest till I get that car. Eventually I get it, but if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that car, it'll come, and I'm steadily growing. When you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, when you get what you're after, not only can you enjoy it, but you can keep it. If I get it too fast and the economy go down and I don't get the overtime, now I'm struggling to pay for it, now I got to sell it. Or if I get it out of season, and then my wife gets pregnant with twins, we need a minivan, and I can't afford a minivan in the car, now I got to trade it in and get a minivan. But when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not only will you get it, you'll keep it. Everything will be added. And you don't have to be in a rush, because you're not... When you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you're satisfied within. And you don't need props and crutches that are without. And when you receive it, you can use it. A lot of people have millions of dollars, but they're afraid of being poor, and they can't use it. And seeking first the kingdom of God solves so many problems. If a person has problems in their marriage, they want relief. But when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, when you're looking at him, the root problems will be solved. And possibly the marriage can be restored. And you solve the root problems, and you'll never have that problem again. these are things that I learned from following him, seeking his face. He thinks of everything, things we can't think of. And he leads us to greater forms of maturity. And that's, you know, this, I want to study this part more, God's glory revealed in suffering. But I wanted to share that first because we can always rise above. Satan don't have us by the throat. He's afraid of us more than we're afraid of him. Amen. We have, if we can look, our love for God, if we can, as we look to him, we can be fully supplied by the Lord in real time to handle whatever problems we have. But if we look at the problem can arise and seem bigger than God. But when we look to the Lord, we see the problem for what it really is. It's way down there. But if we focus on the problem, it'll get bigger than God in our eyes. But if we look at him, we'll see how small our problems are. We'll solve the root causes. And all the things, Satan's best efforts will be a thing of the past. But that kind of knowledge comes, it's always here in the Word. And we fill our heart with his Word. That's how we get a visual of who he is. And then he'll give us a plan to conquer whatever we got to conquer. Some things take time. Some things are done instantly. But when you solve the root problem, they're not coming back. Any questions, comments before we close?
I just think that the book, The Authority of the Believer, it'll fire me up.
Oh, man.
And I think, you know, that once people will study that, mm-hmm. and get deeper in it, mm-hmm. that all this, you know, will go away.
It will. You learn who you are.
And you got God here. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, anytime you can see God as he is, mm-hmm. you look at Satan like, who are you?
Yes.
Yeah. And recently, a few months ago, I had a dream, and Satan was walking right next to me, but he looked like an adolescent, and he was angry, but he wouldn't look at me. He was defeated, and he couldn't kill me. He tried that. He couldn't stop the ministry. He couldn't stop my progress, and he was disappointed because of it. And he looked, and you know, when I looked over and saw him, he looked like a teenager, you know. And he wouldn't look at me. And I looked at him. I said, "I thought you was the devil." And that's how it really is. When you look to the Lord and you receive the knowledge of God's word, and you apply it, and you receive it, and you drive the things of the world out of your character, out of your heart, and you command him that he can't hinder you, there's nothing he can do about it. He hates that, but he can't do nothing about it. Where's his boast? He can't. When you know he's lying, there's nothing he can do to you. You got this. You know, you're strong in him. Whatever he try and attempt, the Lord always give me wisdom for. But whatever God give me to do, I secure it with prayer. I rebuke the enemy. I pray for my people around me, my loved ones, my children, because he'll try to hinder them to get to me. But you can protect people with the shield. Your shield of faith can protect people wherever they are. It doesn't matter where they go. They got angels around them. That kind of knowledge comes from looking to the Lord. And in living in the peace. Never stop living according to the peace. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
That's your strength. And so all the attacks that the enemy is seeing is to get you out of joy, change your focus. But I thank God for what he's doing. He is mightily moving by his spirit. I close this out in prayer. Yeah.
Shortcomings.
Sorry,
I finished
my prayer
meeting. Good. I hate the show cops. I mean, I really hate it, but my mom loved it, so. I was looking at it one night, and the cops had their foot on this guy.
Yeah.
He was yelling, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." And the cop said, "If you can talk, you can breathe." So the Lord said to me, do you really have your foot on Satan's neck? He won't be talking to you. You know, in the old days, when they defeat a king, they make him lie down, and all the Israelites would come by and put their foot on his neck as a semblance to them to remember he was totally subservient to you. So the Lord said, if you really have your foot on Satan's neck, he won't be talking.
In my dream, he wasn't talking. He was looking, well, but he wasn't talking.
I know, and you know, that's not in a dream, but have you ever met anyone you could see evil on?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a magnified presence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I stopped at a stop sign once, and I looked over, and I saw a guy, and he gave me a chill. And I said, Lord, you said no evil will come by me, no evil will come by my door.
Mm-hmm.
Deborah, you're in Christ. Christ is infinite. There is an infinite distance between you and that man.
Yeah.
So, like you're saying, you have to remember these small lessons to get the big things.
Yeah,
yeah. It comes from spending time with Jesus. That's what made the distinction. When Peter and the apostles spoke with boldness, they knew that they had been with Jesus. And not only that, they taught greater lessons than Jesus did. So 1 Peter is better than the front Sermon on the Mount if you study it. Because he tells people to love others like Jesus loves you. Jesus said, do unto others you will have them do unto you. But that's a greater message, but it had to come later. We can always do greater. We can, whatever happens against us, we can always overcome. And the way we measure God's word is how we do it. He never runs out. And then you see people that challenge you, you can stop the enemy's work in their life and then pray for them. And sometimes they'll come out of that, you know, they'll come out of Satan's trap. When people are in Satan's trap, they can't be themselves. But they, and sometimes Satan try to stop people because he know that they got a salvageable heart that will be a threat to them. A lot of people that are in prison now, the enemy routed them because he was afraid of them. Some of the best people in the world are in prison. They got saved, and some of them are anointed. But the enemy knew, he suspected them, so he set things up so they go to jail. He tried to do me that way. But my parents prayed for me. All right, we out of time for the Lord, I thank you for your word. Bless us to go forward in you. Help us to do all that's in your heart these last days and moments we have. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
What
you're talking
about, the young man coming to the several months ago, and several people tried to minister to him. He was having him. They speak to him. You remember that?
Yeah.
And but anyway, I read this the other day, and I'm kind of thinking about what you said there. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, if that man, if he'd set his mind to study the blood of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and he would get free from that. Mm-hmm. That blood would destroy
it.
That evil conscience, that evil spirit that was coming against him.
All the time, yeah. That's true. You got to drive the old out and fill it with the new. The new wine.
Not of him, you mean by the root. Uh-huh. You know, I don't know if you played by creeks when you were a kid, but if you pulled up anything, like a grass or an old tree or whatever, that water would come in and fill that hole, and I'm asking him, let the Holy Spirit come in and fill that spot.
That's right.
So there's no room in there for anything else but you, Lord.
That's right.
But yeah, we need to keep our foot on the enemy's neck.
Put new wine and we got new heart. That's new wineskins. Fill it with the word of God. That's new wine.